Good to know tonight that we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And on our way to heaven. I believe that we are closer, and of course we are. We're closer than we've ever been. But according to the signs of the time and the things that we're looking at today, I think the church better wake herself up and get ready, because, amen, it could be just any time. Amen. And I'm so glad tonight that we have the privilege to call Him Lord. Amen. I appreciate the life that I get to live for Him. I count it an honor. Amen. I count it an honor. It's my greatest honor is to be called a child of the King. Amen. And so we want you tonight to just get in here and worship God. I want to say God bless Brother and Sister Horton for allowing us to come, and you for being here in this service tonight. So we want you to just worship God and let Him have His way. Go with us to the book of Psalms in chapter 34. In verse 17. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 17. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 34, verse 17. The Bible said, "And the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and He delivereth them out of all their troubles." Now that right there is enough to make you want to have a shout down. Come on. He said, "Because the righteous cry," amen, "and the Lord heareth." But he didn't stop there. He said, "And He delivereth them out of all," A-L-L, "their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions," okay, "of the righteous." Persistent pain, distress, grief, or misery. Many, the Bible says, are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivereth. He rescues. He saves. He draws out. And He makes a way of escape out of all of them. Amen? Y'all ought to get, you're excited, ought to be getting a little excited by now. All right? It says, "He keepeth all of His bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked. And they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servant, and none of them," glory, "none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate." Glory. Now, if I don't even say another word, glory, that right there is enough to make you want to step a little higher, run a little farther, praise a little longer, amen, and get more faithful to God. Amen. Father, we love You tonight, and thank You again for the honor we have to be in Your house. Thank You, Lord, for this pastor, God, for this place of worship, these people. I'm asking You now, God, to take the bread of life. It's already blessed, but, oh, God, would You break and feed it to us in the manna tonight, God, that we need to eat from the table of God. Give us the wisdom, oh God, to be able to deliver the word, God, as the oracle of God, that we might be able to say only the words that You, oh God, would have Your people to hear, but anoint the ears to hear. God, save, deliver, heal, and set free in this place. God, do what You do, and help us to be obedient to Your voice. And everybody said, amen. I want to preach to you just for a little while tonight on "I didn't sign up for this." Glory. Hallelujah. How many of y'all, when you got saved, thought, "Hey, man, this is it. It's over with. It's done. No more heartache, no more pain, no more sorrow." You got saved. You got up from the altar. And, if you'd have felt any better, you couldn't have stood it. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. But it didn't take long. About a week down the road, some of us didn't take but a couple of days, maybe not even before we got to the house. Amen. But we begin to realize that the devil don't like to turn loose of what he had a hold of. Come on. Amen. And so we have to realize that if this is a war room, come on, and we better equip ourselves to be able to come out with the victory. Glory. Notice the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis in chapter 21, and you know the story very well, that the Lord had promised Abraham a son, a seed, amen. And so Sarah laughed in her tent, Come on, it's kind of like a lot of us. We get the promises of God, but it looks impossible. How can it be? I'm too old. Come on. Amen. And so, I mean, Abraham's too old, so how can this be? So she just laughed at the promise of God. Don't pay you to laugh at the promise of God. Because if God said it, He's going to perform it. Come on. So it took them 25 years for that promise to come, a full circle around the way God intended it to. It shouldn't have. It would not have had, but because of Sarah not believing. Come on. Amen. And having just a little bit of a humor about, hey, what God had said. Then God said, that's okay. Have it your way, but I'll have it my way at the end of it. Amen. So in the midst of all of it, she got a little anxious and she decided, hey, just take my bondwoman, have a child with her, and that'll be my son. But it wasn't God's plan. God don't need your help, and He don't need mine, because whatever He's got planned, He can do it all by Himself. I feel the preach, but it may not be in the house for you, but it's in the house for me. I just come out of a revival, and God moved miraculously. And I'm telling you, I'm still wound up. Amen. So you just hang on, all right? But you got to understand, this was not God's plan. So we know what happened. Finally, eventually, 25 years later, here come Isaac alone. Ishmael was already in the making. He was already a young man. Abraham fell in love with him, and Sarah got jealous of him. Come on, I'm going somewhere, I promise you. And so what Abraham loved, come on, it was not what God, come on, it was his seed, but it was not the promised seed. And so what Abraham had fell in love with, he didn't want to get rid of, but Sarah got jealous of it. Come on, I'm telling you. And they preached this, so y'all hang on. Amen. Sarah got jealous of it. And so she said, you got to get rid of that bondwoman and her child. Amen. She done decided it didn't belong to Abraham, and she sure didn't want it. Amen. Come on, even though he was Abraham's seed. And so if we're not careful sometime, what we try to do is help God out. We get ourselves in a mess, and we cause hurt and pain and inflict it on innocent people because Hagar didn't ask for it. Come on, I said Hagar didn't ask for it. She was a bondwoman. She done as she was told to do. Amen, because it could have cost her life. Ishmael didn't ask. He didn't ask to be born. Come on. And so here he was. And he went to God and he said, God, what am I going to do? I'm paraphrasing. He said, what am I going to do? I mean, now we've got Isaac. Amen, Ishmael seems to be a problem. Well, he's what you wanted and I gave him to you, but now that you got him, he's become your problem. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. And so, he said, well, just do what Sarah tells you to do. So he took, gave them a little bit of water. Amen. Gave them a little bit of bread. Sent them on the way. Put them out. Amen. Away from everything, everybody. Come on. They left their home. They left their family. They left everything that they knew. Here they were in the desert place. And the Bible said that she put him under a tree there, a little bush. She went over and began to cry and weep for God. Now, if you go ask Hagar, she'll tell you, I didn't sign up for this. This was not in my plan. This is not what I wanted my life to turn out to be. But it looks like I'm going to die in the midst of all of this. Amen. And my son's going to die. I don't know where I can find God in it anywhere. But it just looks like that everything is about to end for me. Amen. And the Bible said that, let's just go read it, in the book of Genesis chapter 21, in verse 17. Now, verse 16 said, she went in and sat down over against him a good way off, and as it were, he said, a bow shot, and said, she said, let me not see the death of the child. Now, she didn't pray for herself. She said, let me not see the death of the child. In other words, if I'm going to die, he's going to die, God. Just don't let me watch it happen. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and she wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. It didn't say that he said a word. Did you find it? Come on now, read it. It didn't say that Ishmael said a word. But God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee?" What's your problem? Come on. Come on now. What's your problem, Hagar? All y'all say amen. "Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is." He knows he's in dire need. He knows he's, come on, being cast out. He knows he's unwanted and loved, unloved, amen, by everybody but you. Come on. He knows that he's a problem. Come on, somebody. So you got to understand from the inside, amen, of that young man's spirit, he began to cry out to God. He may have never uttered a word. The scripture really doesn't tell us. But while Hagar was feeling sorry, come on, you got to understand, she was feeling sorry for her and her son. Amen. Come on, somebody. Don't let me watch him die. God, I didn't ask for this. I didn't sign up for this. This wasn't in the plan. This wasn't in the bargain. Come on. While all the time, amen, Ishmael was lying, amen, there may be doing nothing but saying within his spirit and mind, "I don't know why I'm here. I don't understand what's taking place." But God said, "I heard the voice of the lad, and I know where he's at. I came to tell you tonight, hell may have gave you, amen, everything that it could dish out to you. And you may feel like, hey, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't bargain for all of this trouble. I didn't bargain for the divorce. I didn't bargain for my kids on drug. I didn't sign up for all this to happen. But oh God," he said, "the Bible said this, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth them and he delivereth them out of all their troubles." Can I tell you tonight, I don't know where you may be walking. I don't know what kind of situation you may be in. But the Bible said, if I cry, he's going to hear me. And if he hears me, he's going to answer me. And if he's going to answer me, he's going to make a way for me. I may have not signed up for the heartache. I may have not signed up for the trouble. I may have not signed up for life itself. But I signed up to walk this walk and to talk it for God. He will make a way. Amen. So many of us are sitting around, come on our stool of do-nothing, as we may say. Come on, somebody. Amen. And we're kind of like Hagar. Come on. I don't know where I fit in God's plan. I can't find my place in God's plan. Amen. If you're saved, you're in his plan. I said, if you're really saved, if you really, why don't you stop your whining? Why don't you stop your crying? Why don't you stop pitying yourself and realize that if Jesus had lay off his godly throne, come on, get off of it and lay down his throne, come on somebody, his robe and his crown, and take on the body of flesh and come to this earth, be beaten, be rejected, come on, I said, and do the things that he did for the kingdom, but yet the world rejected and refused him. What's wrong with you? It's his blood. I said, it's his blood that has saved you. It's his blood that has bought you. It is his blood that wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So why don't you just get up and let him know that you're going to praise him? In the midst of your sorrow, in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your sickness. Hey, hallelujah. And sign up for it. There's a lot of things I went through I didn't sign up for. Come on, somebody. Amen. I said there's a lot of things that I've went through that I didn't sign up for. Come on. But I have found this one thing. Life is life. Amen. It's not always the devil, and it's not always God. Some of it's just you. I'll say amen. Some of it's the decisions we make. Amen. Because we're too selfish to sell out and come on and live for God. Come on. We want to figure out why God's making me go through this. And it may not be He's making you. It's probably the road you chose to travel. Come on. Amen. You probably made a turn when you should have went right. You went left. Amen. And there you found yourself down a dirt road. Come on. Of life full of potholes and full of heartache and full of pain, but you chose it, and you didn't want to turn around and go back and make the right turn. You might not have signed up for it, but you chose it. Oh, somebody say amen. You've got to understand, amen, in this life, amen, most of us get our own selves in our own, amen, circumstances and in our own messes. Come on, you might as well help me out, but I want you to understand, he said, if the righteous cry, I'm going to hear them. Amen. I may have messed up, but I'm going to tell you before I get very much further down this road, I believe I'm going to call on Him. I'm going to say, Father, I don't know why I did it. I don't know why that I made this choice. But God, I'm turning around right here in the middle of this road. I'm about to make me a U-turn because I'm running back to Calvary. I'm running back to the cross. I'm running back to where I need to be. I'm sorry that I messed up. I'm sorry that I gave you a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble. I'm sorry, God, that I blamed you. Because when I looked around, it was me that turned the wheel, not you. Hallelujah. Well, Sister Linda, you know it don't take really that kind of stuff to do. We live in such a loose age and a loose church age. Come on, we've just decided that God's a good old Joe. Amen, that's a cup of coffee that you can buy somewhere. But the God that I serve is Jehovah Jireh. Amen, He is the God that will provide. He is Jehovah Shalom. Come on, somebody. Amen, I want you to understand, He is Jehovah Nisa. Amen, I found out when He told Moses, He said, Moses, I want you to go in and tell Pharaoh he better let my children go. They've been in bondage already too long. And now, you know, he's like a lot of us. I said, now you can look through the book and you can read Pentecostal all the way through from Genesis to Revelations because there's a stubborn bunch of people. Amen. How are y'all saying that? Then I want you to understand, he said, Moses, he said, you go tell him. He said, but Lord, who am I going to tell him? We don't even know what your name is. Come on, we don't. We don't know what your name is. So who am I going to tell him that has sent me? Because after all, you know, they're going to have enough. Name. Billy Joe, Bobby Joe, Donna Sue, or somebody. Come on. No, he said, you just tell them that I am. I love it. I am that I am has sent you. You don't have to tell them anything else. Because he said, I'm here to tell you I'm the one. Amen. Come on, that slung this world into existence. I am the one that said, let there be light. And there it was. I am the one that put the sun to rule over the day and the moon over the night. I am the one that carved out the valleys and made the mountains. I am the one that made every living, breathing creature on the face of this earth. I am the one, amen, that reached down and took the dust of the earth and formed out an image like unto myself, breathing his nostrils and gave him life. Amen, and he became a living soul. You just go tell them that I am, and that's all they need to know. I am their sunshine on a rainy day. I am their protection in the storm. I am whatever they have need of. I am the rock they can run to. I am their shelter. Oh, somebody preach with me. Understand, you may have not signed up for where you've been walking, but can I tell you, you signed up to go to heaven. So walk the walk. Stop complaining. Amen. Oh, Sister Lynn, this is just first night and you're tough. If you go to Paul, come on, stood at the stoning of Stephen. Oh, yeah. Man, he got so beside himself, he said, I'm going to go take care of the rest of them. Amen? Come on. Come on, Saul at the time. He started, got on his donkey, and away he went, feeling proud of himself because he did know the word. He had that religious spirit. Oh, yeah. Amen. And he said, I'm going down to Damascus. And when I get down there, I'm going to take care of all them that's been like that when I just saw stoned to death. At Stephen, I mean, even at his dying breath, he looked up and said, Father, forgive them. Amen. For they know not what they do. I'm going to listen to another one of them act like that. Come on. He said, I'm telling you now, I know the word. And this Jesus, this Messiah, amen, it can't be him. Amen. He's just a carpenter's son. He's just Mary's son. I know the word. I sat at the very feet of a Gamaliel, one of the greatest scholars and teachers of all time. And so therefore I know the word. If you'll ever get past your religiosity and your theology of what you think about God and get into the word and let the rhema of the word of God begin to teach you, amen, what God wants you to know about him, you'll have an all different eyesight. You'll have a brand new ears to hear with, a brand new mind to think with. As the Bible said, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Amen. That's when you get the rhema word. Come on, somebody. I can tell you all day long, but when you get the rhema word of God in you, it'll change you. And I want you to understand, on his road to Damascus, he run right smack dab into the rhema word of God. Oh, yes, he did. Amen. Knocked him off of his high horse. On the ground he went. Come on. And he said, oh, Saul, Saul. Hey, it's kind of hard to go against the pricks here. It's kind of hard when you meet the rhema word. When you know what you've been taught's not right. When you know what they've been telling you is not right. For I am he that was, that is, and shall be, and is to come. Oh, I want you to understand. And when he got up and he realized, I can't even walk without him now. He couldn't see without him. He couldn't walk without him. So they took him down to the street called Straight. Set him down. And there he sat for 3 days. Come on, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. 3 days. He had a little talk with Jesus. Amen. And his old song says, a little talk with Jesus, it'll make things right. Come on. Amen. That's all he could do. Come on. He didn't have Gamaliel anymore. He didn't have that religious church anymore. He didn't have the Sanhedrin anymore. Come on. All he had was a vacant room, sitting there blinded. He couldn't tell if the sun was up, amen, or if the sun went down. He was in total, complete darkness. And if you'd look at him and say, hey, Saul, how you feeling now? He'd probably tell you, I didn't bargain for this. Amen. I didn't know this is how it was going to be. Amen. And so the Bible said that God looked down and he said, he had a prophet by the name of Ananias. And he said, Ananias, I got a job for you. And I'm telling you, Ananias surely was, amen, PCG. Amen. He said, I ain't going. I done heard about him. Amen. I know what he's done. I know how mean he is. I've heard what he's done to the church. He said, I want you to know, but I've made him a new man. He ain't the same that he was. Come on. When he started that way, amen, he met me. He met the rhema word. I shined a light on him, and he can't see anything but my glory. Well, glory to God. He said when he seen my glory, it blinded him. So you go on down there. And when you get there, I've got a newsletter and you need to read to him. You need to tell him what he's going to have to do. You need to tell him what he's going to face. You need to let him know. But you know what, Paul? He signed that newsletter. Amen. The scales fell off of his eyes. I know it's not wrote just like that. But just play with me for a little while. Amen. And I want you to understand, when the scales fell off of his eyes, he had 20/20 rhema vision. Amen. He believed that I am was the I am. That Jehovah, come on, was the one and only God. He was the one and only Lord. He was the Redeemer, the Savior. Amen. The Master and the soon coming King. He rose up in power and authority. And he said, whatever it is, I've signed my name to it. I'll be a willing vessel for you. Not even recognizing. Amen. Then in the book of 2 Corinthians, when he began to write in verse 24 of chapter 11, he said this of the Jews. Come on, my own brothers. Amen. He said, I've been beaten 5 times, 40 stripes save one. 39 stripes have I been beaten 5 times, but I'm still here. Thrice I was beaten with rods. And he said, once I stoned. He said, and thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and day. He said, I've been in the deep. And in journeyings often, in perils of water. Amen. In perils of robbers. He said, in perils of mine own countrymen. Amen. And in perils by the heathen. In perils in the city, and in perils in the wilderness, and in perils, amen, in the sea, and in perils among my false brethren. He said, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, I've been hungry and I've been thirsty, fasting often in cold and in nakedness. Besides those things that were without, that which cometh upon me daily, was the care of the churches. My burden for the church overcame all of this. Who is weak? I'm not weak. Who is offended? He said, I burn not. Can I read it to you in Amplified? It'll break it down just a little bit. Arkansas lingo. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and 3 times I was shipwrecked. Night and a day have I spent adrift on the sea. Many times of journeyings exposed, he said, to the dangers from the river. Dangers from the bandits and dangers from mine own countrymen. Dangers from the Gentiles. He said, danger in the city and danger in the wilderness. Dangers in the sea and dangers of those that was posing as believers. Did you get that? Posing as believers. That religious spiritual thing. In labor and hardship, and often unable to sleep, and in hunger and in thirst, often driven to fast for lack of food. Wasn't my choice, but I had to because there wasn't anything to eat. I was in the cold and exposed without adequate clothing. Besides those extreme things, there is the daily inescapable pressure of my concern for the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel this weakness. And who is made to sin that I am not on fire with sorrow and concern? Paul said, I didn't sign up for it. But this is what I've got. And of all the suffering of my mortal body, my main thing was this. My inescapable pressure of the churches. Concern for the churches. He said, because that one that is weak, and I do not feel his weakness, there's something wrong with me. That one that is who is in sin, and I'm not on fire with sorrow and concern, then something's wrong with me. Amen? I didn't sign up for it. But he said, this is what I got. And then he went on down and he said this. In 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction. Did y'all get that? Which is but for a moment. Worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not to the things which are seen, my suffering, my pain, Sister Kelly, my sorrow, my desertion of my fellow brethren. Those that have falsely accused me, mocked me, scorned me, stoned me, and left me out for dead is my light affliction. But he said, I want you to know, while I'm not looking at those things, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So Paul said, while I'm going through this, I'm not going to stop and set my tent up and focus on it. I'm going to pull my stakes up come morning. I may rest for a few minutes, but come morning I'm pulling my tent stakes up and I'm going farther. Come on, and I'm going to run a little farther. I'm going to preach a little bit more. Come on, they may run me back down. Come on. I know this is not my demise because I'm going to have to go stand before Caesar. Hadn't got there yet, but I'm on my way. Come on, and I know what my destiny is going to be. I may have not signed up. When I signed up, I didn't realize exactly what all it would cost me. But he said, I want you to know, he told Timothy, Timothy, I want you to understand this, boy. He said, I have fought a good fight, and I have kept my faith. Oh, somebody say amen. I know that they've got the gallows ready, and I know that they've got the axe sharpened up, and they're about to take my head. But son, hear what I'm trying to tell you, that I, through all of my suffering, through all of my pain, through all of the circumstances that I've walked through, what it cost me to build the churches, what it cost me to set in order, while I sit in this sewage dump of a prison with stench that I can barely stand to smell. He said, Timothy, understand this. I have fought a good fight. I may have been locked up for the last few years, but I pinned on tablet and I've wrote to the churches. And so, Timothy, I'm writing to you now. Understand this. I said, I have fought a good fight. Don't you look at my demise as defeat. Don't you look at my crucifixion as defeat. Don't you look at my beheading as defeat. Because he said, I am now ready. I said, I am now ready to be offered up. Oh, somebody hear me. He said, because I want you to understand, there lays a crown of righteousness up for me, but not for me only, but for all them. Oh, come on, somebody, that are going to look and love his appearing. I said, you may have not signed up for the roads you've had to travel, but pick it up and get through it. Because on the other end of the road, there is a crown waiting for you. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Pain is just a part of our process. Come on. And if you're willing and obedient and you walk it and you go through it, amen, you'll get to your destiny once you get through it. But I want you to understand, if there's anything that the enemy and how he's working on the lives of men and women today, is because we are paying attention to what he says. Oh, y'all say amen. We pay attention to what he says. If you look at the news, you'll get depressed. I seldom turn it on. Oh, Sister Lee, you need to know what's going on in the world. That's okay, you can tell me. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you got to understand, news media is nothing but a bunch of, come on, a lot of it's lies. If you believe everything they tell you, amen, you'll go build yourself a hole in the ground, amen, as safe as you possibly can. Crawl in it, pull it over you, and wait. Come on. Amen. For you, your last breath to come. Come on. Understand that. Amen. I realize we're living in a demonic age. We really are, whether people realize it or not. You want to know why that people are falling from church? You know why people don't have the desire to be in church? Come on. And when I was a kid growing up, I desired to be in the church every time the doors was open. I couldn't wait for the doors to open. It didn't matter to me if it was a ball game. It didn't matter to me whatever was going on. I wanted to be at the house of God. Why? Because I wanted to hear the word. Come on, say amen. I see that as vastly, and it has vastly faded away from us, because after all, we serve a good old Job today. He's not such an understanding God. He realizes that our bodies can't handle, amen, too many nights of revival. Come on. He realizes that our body, we've got to work, and we're tired, we're wore out. I worked 10 hours a day, went to church, and get home to midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. Come on, yeah, I did. Amen. Did it for 2 and 3 weeks at a time. I never missed a day working, and never missed a night going to church. Hi, but Sister Linda, we don't live in that kind of time anymore. You know why? Because we're too lazy. Amen. Yeah, we are. Oh, Sister Lynn, that's just hard stuff. I realize it is. Amen. We had revival last week. I preached on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Amen. And then we went to church again on a Thursday night. I didn't preach that night, but we was there. Amen. Someone was looking around and said, my Lord, if we don't get saved by this time. I said, honey, this is just a drop in the bucket to what I used to do. Come on. Amen. I preached 6 weeks revivals and drug my kids to serve every night. This in school, they lived. Amen. I mean, they got grandchildren. My kids was hooked on drugs. Amen. It wasn't alcohol. It wasn't, it wasn't all this drugs of today. They was hooked on the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. You got to understand. Oh, but Sister Linda, you don't understand the hour and the day that we're living in. No, I don't. Because God's still the same God that He's always been. He has not changed. Amen. He's not lost any of His power. He's not lost any of His authority. Come on. He's still got. There's something about the anointing. And there's something about the Holy Ghost. If you're really certain. Now, if you just sit there, I understand. You can get tired, depressed. Amen. Go home and your bed feels a lot better and your recliner does too. But there's something about getting in His presence. There's something about pushing in. Amen. Come on. If your neighbor don't want to, then say, scoot over. Give me some elbow room. I'm feeling a Holy Ghost spell coming on. Come on. It's something about getting in His presence. He'll energize you. You'll be like the energizing bunny. Oh, glory to God. Hey, come on, somebody. Understand, when you get in His presence, there's where you want to live. So you want to be there all the time. Ah, crazy woman. Micah said this, and I'll read it, and I'll do my best to quit. Micah said this, and you know it real well, in chapter 7 and verse 8. He said, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Because when I fall, I'm going to rise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be my light. Amen. He didn't say, come on, He didn't say if. He said when I fall. So I know I'm probably going to fall. I'm going to stumble. I fell about 3 weeks ago in my carport. Silly thing. Amen. Yeah, I just wasn't paying any attention. I missed a step. And, here I went. That and grabbed my car. My car had been out in the rain. It was slick, so I just kept going. The concrete caught me. Amen. But I thought, now that was just really dumb on my part, because if I'd have been watching what I was doing, I wouldn't have fell. And if we're as Christians, we'd watch what we're doing, we won't fall. Amen. Come on, yeah. If we're watching what we're doing, come on, folk. Amen. But so Micah said this, don't rejoice against me just because I have. Got to understand. Well, I may have fell down, but I do know how to get back up. I didn't holler, help! My husband wouldn't have heard me if I had him. Amen. So I just said, well, you silly thing. Get up. So I did. I pushed myself up, went crippling in the house, and I said, thank you, Jesus, rebuke the devil and all that's within him. In the name of Jesus, I am healed, I am whole. Amen. I couldn't hardly use this arm for a day or two, but I kept saying, you're in the name of Jesus, you're healed. In the name of Jesus, you're healed. You might as well straighten up. You might as well line up to the Word of God, because you're healed and you're whole. I'm not doing anything for you. Amen. So it got better. And so what you got to understand is this. Amen. He said, when I fall, he said, I know I'm probably going to. I'm human. I'm probably going to fall. But don't you rejoice against me, because I will arise. Come on. I'm going to get up. And if I get in a dark place, you ever been there? And I'm not talking about the lights all off. You're spiritually in a dark place. Amen. Don't know why. I don't know how. But I'm here. He said, let me tell you something. The Lord shall be a light unto me. So I'm not going to sit there very long. Because I'm going to call upon the Word. Come on, folk. And He's going to shine His Rhema Word down. And it's going to brighten the corner where I'm at. Amen. Hallelujah. If everybody, and I'm about to close as Chris is coming back. If everybody will focus on one person, look in the mirror and you'll know who it is. Focus on that one person and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Come on. And when that one person begins to serve God, come on, in spirit and in truth. Say, well, you don't know how I've messed up, and I really don't care. Because if you've repented, it's done away with. It's under the blood. Come on, forget about it. I can't forget about it. Then leave it alone. Quit entertaining it. Come on. Amen. You may have messed up, but if you've got up and you've repented, it's under the blood. So why keep wallowing in it? Amen. I slipped and fell in mud holes, but I didn't lay there and act like a pig. I got up. Sister Brenda, I got up. I realized I got muddy. I went and took a bath. Got me some clean clothes. I didn't go back out there and get back in it. I washed the rest of it up. Come on. So your mess has been cleaned up by the blood. Oh, come on, folk. You may have wallowed in the hog waller. You may have been like the prodigal. But you've come to yourself. And you've come back to the Father's house. And if you've come back to the Father's house, He's met you. Come on. And if you've met you and you've asked Him, Father, forgive me. That's it. It's done. It's over with. But everybody else knows. Who cares? Hell knows, and hell will never let you forget. But heaven's erased it. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm telling you, I'm driving a 10-penny nail right where you're at. If I got to use a sledgehammer to get it through, I'll get it through. Because I am determined for you to understand this. If your blood washed, act like it. Well, I used to shout and I used to talk in tongues and I used to feel God. What's wrong with you doing it now? Come on. Same God. Same anointing. Same Holy Ghost. Same deliverance. Same power is still there. Don't belittle God. Because what God does, He does perfect. It's you that messes it up in me. Come on. Talked to a young girl in our church, just been real down. She said, I don't know why I go up and I don't feel anything. I said, what do you got to feel? Sometimes you got to walk by faith. I said, you know you're saved. Yeah, I know I'm saved. I said, you've asked God to forgive you. Yeah, I've asked God to forgive me. I said, then you know you're saved. Holy Ghost filled? Yeah. Talking tongues? Yeah. I said, what's your problem? Come on. See, the more you entertain Him, the more He'll love on you. And the more that He loves on you, come on, the closer you'll draw to Him. Come on, folk. Stand with me across the house. You may say, Sister Williams, I didn't sign up for all that I've been having to walk through. That's okay. I didn't either. But I sure am glad I'm walking. Come on. There's been times I've wondered, God, will I make it? My flesh wondered that, but my spirit man knew it was okay. There's not a one of us because we're human tonight. We live in a body of flesh, and it's my flesh that gives me my problem. It's not my husband, it's not my children, it's not my church, it's not the world. It's my flesh that gives me the problem. It's when I can overcome my flesh and say, look, oh man, Paul said this. He said, I want you to know. He said, I have to get up every day. I know it's not wrote exactly word for word the way I'm saying it, but I just want you to understand. This is what he would say today if he's talking to you. I get up every morning and I say, oh man, this is the day the Lord hath made. You're going to live for God. He said, I have to deny myself. I have to die daily so that I can walk this journey. If he had not died daily, he would have never went through the first whipping post. If he had not put the flesh to death, he would have never, when he was rejected, refused, come on, and falsely accused. Come on. When they beat him and took him out of the city and left him out for dead, he could have easily said, Father, I'm done. Just take me home. But instead, something on the inside, his spirit man rose up, gave life back to the fleshly man. And before their very eyes, they watched Paul stand up, go back into the city, and begin to preach again. Come on. Amen. See, it's all in my... I tell my kids this, I tell everybody, it's all in my want to. I got to want to. I got to want to. I got to want to love him every day. Come on. And some days I have to make myself pray because I'm so busy. Oh, Sister Linda, surely not you. Yeah. This is me. Being honest before you. Some days, come on, I have to make myself take time. Come on. Because life gets so busy, and if we're not careful, the devil gets us busier than we ought to be, and we're too busy then to give God the time he needs. I didn't bargain for this. I didn't sign up for it. But I did sign up to go to heaven and ever what it takes to get me there. Amen? Y'all didn't hear me. Ever what it takes to get me there. I don't know much about the armed services and all that, but they've got, I know Brother Grundy and Sister Grundy's son-in-law has a son that's a, help me out, it's not a Navy SEAL, what's the other? He's a sniper. He's been over when Bin Laden, he had to go over there to help capture Bin Laden, or to kill him. They didn't capture him, they killed him. Green Beret. The young man was stricken with, last year, with leukemia. They say he's one of the best Green Berets that they have. And they send him in places no one else will go. His family cannot be, he cannot tell them where he's at. His wife does not know, nor his children. He cannot have no contact with them. But he goes for the love of his country and to keep his family safe. There's things he cannot tell that he has seen, things he cannot tell of what America is facing, because he just is not allowed to talk about it. So he was stricken with leukemia, fast kind. The worst kind you could have. But he's got a fasting, praying daddy. And God has miraculously, they gave him no hope to live. They have three little boys. But God has so miraculously turned that boy around. He was lost without God and on his way to hell. But God has miraculously gave him divine healing and turned his life around. But I thought of his job as a Green Beret. Wouldn't it be great if we could get those kind of people in the spiritual realm fighting this warfare? Come on. We need it. Sister Kelly, we need it. We need some Green Berets spiritual green berets in the army of God that can go to hell with a water pistol and come out with a victory. Come on. We're coming into a time in the church world that we have never seen. But this year, it's going to be a great year for the church. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that God's sending revival to a people that is hungry for it. There's going to be people that's not going to receive it. Don't misunderstand me. But there is a people that is hungry that God's about to blow the wind of heaven right down through the middle of whoever is desiring it. And there's going to be a flame of the fire of God. You're going to see miracles. Come on. No. You're not grabbing me. I said you're going to see miracles. The days of Catherine Kuhlman and Oral Roberts, A.A. Allen and others, it's not a thing of the past because it's still God. And you're going to see it again because God is going to do it again before He takes His people out. But we've come so asleep and so relaxed in a Laodicean church that we're living in. Come on, you might as well say, but I believe God's going to raise him up some green berets in the middle of it all that's going to say, hey, we're not about to take no for an answer. We're going to win it. We're going to see it happen. This church has been prophesied that this church will be the center in this town for it to take place. And I'm here to tell you, God's word is not going to fall to the ground. It's not a seed that'll die and not come up. Come on, no. What you got to understand, when God sends a word, amen, He'll move every obstacle, He'll move every person, He'll move everything out of the way that He has to move when it comes time for that seed to sprout and grow up. You see, sometimes some seeds stay dormant for years in the ground before they ever sprout. And that's what your seed has done. Because your seed is not dead. It looked like it was. And that seed looked like that it wasn't ever going to happen. But I came to tell you tonight, that seed is well and alive. And I tell you what I see in my spiritual eye. I see. Do you know how a seed begins to break open its skin, as we call it, the shell? And you see the little white? It's the root, the little white begin to protrude out of. That's what I see in my mind's eye tonight. It's been laying dormant for a long time, waiting for the right time, the right season. Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. For the right season. Come on. For it to take its root. And it's already breaking forth. It's just needing some people now that'll water it. And whenever it gets that fertile water, it's going to start to sprout. And when it sprouts, but it's going to go deeper first. Because it's got to get its root system so that when it gets above the ground, come on, when that seed begins to blossom, come on, hell's going to try to cut it off. Understand that. The moment it breaks forth, hell's going to try to stop it. But I want you to understand, you hear this woman preacher tonight. Amen. And you can take this prophetic if you want to, because it is prophetic. Amen. The moment that seed begins to pop forth, and things begin to happen, the vehement winds of hell is going to blow. But it'll be a quick thing. Because there's going to be some of God's green berets that's going to raise up, come on, and destroy what wants to destroy the seed. Because that seed's got its system. That's the reason it's laid dormant so long. You see, they tell us in Lebanon that the trees, their roots grow as deep as they grow tall. A Lebanon tree, it goes down, and its root system will go as far as it can go before that little sprout comes up, cracks the earth open, and begins to grow. But it'll grow as tall as it can grow, as far as its roots have gone. And I'm here to tell you, that's what's about to happen at Solemn Springs Trinity Pentecostal Church of God. He just needs him a few people. It don't take but a handful. God don't need an army. Jesus only chose 12, and one of them was the devil. So he had him 11, and all of them forsook him. But he only had three he could really depend upon. And then they forsook him. Come on, folk. You got to understand. God don't need a whole army. He don't need a whole community. If he can get him two or three, he said, that's all I need. Two or three that'll come together in my name and dare to believe. Amen. I may be across to northeast Arkansas, nearly 300 miles away, but I can link my arm across this state to you and join your hand with mine and say, Brother Horton, we're going to take Arkansas for Jesus. Come on. What God's prophesied for you in Siloam Springs is going to take place in Truman, Arkansas. Come on. And we've got a wide sweep from the west to the north. Northeast, that is. Amen. And let me tell you, he said, if you both agree it's touching that one thing, I'll be right in the middle of you. I feel almost like running. If I wasn't 71, I would. If I get me a good runner, I'd feel better. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you, you may say, Sister, I didn't bargain for all this. You might not have. Don't get weary on your journey. Because the Bible says in due season, you're going to reap if you faint not. So don't faint, because victory's just outside your doorstep. Victory's just outside, come on, your window pane. If you begin to praise it into existence, it has to happen. Amen. Come on, yeah, it does. Because God will not refuse His people of what He has promised them. Sarah laughed at the promise. So it took 25 years. Come on. The Israelites came out of Egypt. They could have made their journey in 11 days. It took them 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Because they would not believe by faith that God was well able to give them what He said He'd give them. So don't blame the prophet and don't blame the pastor and don't blame the preacher if it ain't happening when you think it ought to. It just might be that I'm not fully receiving the vision. I'm trying to find a place to quit. Come here. I'm going to use you. And I ain't talked to you, so I don't know anything, okay? This is your pastor. He's the head of this church. He is the visionary of the church. And when he's in alignment with what God has told him, okay? Hear what I'm about to say. He's in alignment with what the vision God has told him. And the vision that God has prophesied over him. He's in alignment with that vision. You as the body have got to come in alignment with the head for it to fully... No. Hear me. For it to fully come in to what God wants it to be. You see... The head has to be in alignment with the supreme authority. Jehovah, God, Yahweh, Yeshua. Come on. And as long as he's in alignment with that, then the only other thing is the body's got to come in alignment. And when the alignment takes place in the body with the head, you ain't seen nothing yet. Come on. So if you're not in alignment, you better get in alignment. Because God said, if you don't get in alignment, take this. You say, Sister Lynn, why are you doing it? I don't know. This is my first night. I didn't ask for this. If you don't get in alignment, you're going to be sitting on the side over here on the sidewalk watching it take place. Because God said, you the little finger, and I needed you bad, but I found another. I'll leave you by the same. You see, because God's going to align the body up. And if you don't want to be that part of that body that He's chosen you to be, He can bypass you right on by. You can go get the prostitute out of the... Come on. Yeah, He can. Clean her up, boil her up, come on. Anoint her up and put her right where you should have been standing all the time. Understand that. So if we don't align up, because this is the year of alignment, we better line up. Because God's about to do something with the body of Christ. And we've got to line up with the head. Come on. And this is, if this is your home church, this is where you need to line up. And if you're just a Sunday morning goer, shame on you. You better line up. It'll take more than an hour of church on Sunday morning to get you to heaven. Because that devil out there goes to church 24/7. He's more up on the Word than you are. Yeah, he is, because he knew the Word. He lived with the Word. Come on, folk. How we think we can just get by with snacking here and there. Glory. I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, this new generation don't cook anymore. They buy it and bring it in. I can just eat so many hamburgers and hot dogs and grilled cheeses and pizza and all that. I like it. Don't misunderstand me. I like it. Bologna sandwich, I like it. But after a while, I got to have some beans and taters and cornbread. I got to have a roast of potatoes and carrots or something. Green beans, salad, something. Come on. And God's got everything prepared at the table of God. And we just go up there and pick. I believe I think a chocolate chip cookie will do me right now. When you're needing a good old steak and baked potato, something that'll give you the strength to fight the battle. Come on. Because you'll run into weakness living off of junk food. Don't get mad at me. We're going back tomorrow night. We'll have church, okay? But if you're here and you need something from God and you say, Sister, I'm going to line up. I'm going to line up. I believe that God's talking to me tonight. I need to line up. Now, we don't want to think that we're not lined up, but just in case I'm not lined up, I'm going to line up anyhow. Amen? I want to see God do what God's prophesied to do. I want to see your children saved. I want to see your grandchildren saved. I want to see a Holy Ghost move of God. How about you? Come on. I want to see the power of God sweep the building. Where, hey, you know what it's like, Brother Kelby, when you get so drunk in the Holy Ghost, you know, you don't even know if you're going to be able to get in the car and drive home. Hey, let's just stay here. Be like the disciples. Hey, let's pitch a tent right here. This is a good place to pitch one. Amen? Is that what you want tonight? If it is, I want you to just step out of your seat, get back out between those pews and say, hey, I'm coming to line up. Amen. I'm going to line up with the man of God and the vision of God that He's given him. I want to see what God wants done in this house. How about it tonight? As Chris sings, would you come? Yeah.
Need the soul. not me.